Welcome to GW DocPod. I'm your host, Dr. Andrew Wilner. I invite you to listen in as we discuss advances in colorectal surgery. My guest today is Dr. Vincent Obias, professor of surgery at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences and chief division of colon and rectal surgery at George Washington University Hospital. Dr. Obias is also the chair of the robotics committee at GW and will share how robotics has improved patient experience with colorectal surgery. Welcome, Dr. Obias.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. To get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? How did you decide to specialize in colorectal surgery?
Sure. As mentioned earlier, my name is Vincent Obias. I'm a chief of colorectal surgery at George Washington. And I have been at GW now for about, I guess, maybe 14 years. My interest in colorectal surgery all started in residency. I think colorectal surgery is a broad field. People may not be familiar with it. We take care of anything from colon cancer and rectal cancer to benign disease such as hemorrhoids and anorectal issues. We also do colonoscopies, and we do procedures in the office. So it's a very broad field, anywhere from benign to cancer, from diverticulitis to ulcerative colitis. So it was a nice broad field. And after my general surgery residency, it was only a one-year fellowship. So it really is a nice field that did not require extra training. And it's been a very fulfilling field as well.
Well, I think I should add, even though it was only 1 year of extra training, I think that's on top of, is it 5 years for general surgery?
Yes. So 5 years of general surgery. Many of us take an extra year for research, is what I did. So for my training, it was 6 years of general surgery, as well as a year in colorectal fellowship at Cleveland Clinic for me. And I did an extra year of minimally invasive surgery fellowship. So it took me a while to become an attending.
Wow. Well, I want to talk about something new, and I understand that GW was the first in the region to perform robotic colon resections. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. I was the first one to do robotic colon resections and using it for colorectal procedures around 2009. At that time, robotics was really focused on prostate and prostate cancer and to a certain degree pulmonary surgery here at GW. I was the first in the D.C. area and in Washington, D.C. to apply it for colorectal surgery, and we've done over 600 to 700 cases now at GW.
Well, I'm probably dating myself here, but when I think of a robot, you know, I think of the robot in Lost in Space waving his arms. Tell us, what's a surgical robot and why would you use it?
Absolutely. Growing up, I had a lot of different visions of robotics and anywhere from very simple to extremely advanced. And the robot is more of an assistant, mechanical assistant. It is robotic in that it's a 100% powered system. But, you know, also when people think of robotics, they think of an autonomous robot, a robot that can walk down the street, open the door, drive a car or something. And this robotic systems that we have today do not do that. They assist the surgeon. So like in the movies or like in, I believe, some of these movies, you'll see somebody move their hand a certain way and the robotic arm will move a certain way. And that's exactly what this robot does for us. We are in a console. The robot is separate. It's next to the patient. We're a few feet away. But when I move my hands, the robot copies that movement. It has no ability to initiate that movement and do movements on its own for the current robotic systems. So it's really more of an assistant, an advanced minimally invasive instrument, allowing us to do the surgery in a finer fashion with a better advantage versus the current instruments that we have.
So I imagine, this is kind of a simplified example, but I imagine you turn your hand 1 inch, say, to the right, and the robot will turn its hand a quarter of an inch. So you can get a lot more sort of detailed movement. Does it do that?
Yeah, so there are different ways of affecting the sensitivity of it. So if I move my hand 1 inch, the robot will quickly move it 1 inch. Or I can reduce the sensitivity. So if I move my hand 1 inch, it might move it at a half an inch. And it also offsets tremor. So let's say if I had an intention tremor or a tremor or I was moving my hand, and that way it would be a steady system so that whatever I'm cutting or dissecting, it would be a steady movement rather than any shaking there. it does improve the basics of what we do. Robotics is an extension of laparoscopic surgery, and laparoscopic surgery is through long sticks. So you can imagine that if your hand has a small tremor, at the end of a long stick, the tremor is even worse. Well, robotics negates that. There's not going to be a tremor. You feel like instead of me holding a long, maybe 2 foot long stick or a foot and a half long stick to do surgery, I feel like I'm holding a pencil to do surgery. So it's a very accurate sensation.
Now, traditionally in surgery, ever since the days before anesthesia, quicker in surgery meant better. Is the robot right. quicker?
Back in the day, especially before anesthesia, you had to be quick because the patient was in pain and the patient was moving. With anesthesia, you could do longer surgery. And with the more advanced anesthetics, obviously, if you needed to do longer surgery, patients are safer. I would state that better surgery is better surgery. Just because I could do something quicker doesn't necessarily mean the procedure is better. So if you look at the various papers, robotics is not necessarily quicker than laparoscopic surgery or open surgery. But the outcomes comparing it are better depending on which things you're looking at, such as abilities to do minimally invasive surgery, length of stay. And so those are some things. So is the robot quicker? Once you get through your learning curve, your operative times will drop, but it's not going to be quicker than basic open surgery. But we're also converting a surgery that has a large incision, 1 to 2 feet incision in your belly, to 4 or 5 small 1 centimeter or half centimeter incisions. So patients recover faster, have less pain. So if you can do a minimally invasive procedure that takes longer than open surgery, the patient's going to recover faster, have less pain, get back to work sooner, and be in the hospital over a less amount of time.
Great. So we're talking about minimally invasive. So that means that you're able to insert, I guess, the robot with a little flashlight attached into a hole and see what's going on, as opposed to making a big incision so that you can actually see with your own eyes. Is that what's happening?
Absolutely. What ends up happening here is that we have robotic cameras that are 3D, and they go through small incisions in the abdominal walls so that we can see, and it's also lighted. We also instill gas into the abdomen to distend it so we can have room to do surgery. And through other small incisions, we place robotic arms, which are about 8 millimeters wide. So they're very small, little thin instruments that are wristed at the end that will allow us to do a fine dissection and grabbing and retracting and even stapling and division of vessels. So yes, all through tiny incisions. And these small incisions, patients recover much faster, have less pain, and it really is a much better procedure than open surgery.
I've heard of the Da Vinci surgical system, I guess named after Leonardo, although I don't think he was directly involved. Is that what you use? Or are there other systems, or is that sort of the one that everyone uses? How does that work?
Yeah. So right now, the most common system is the Da Vinci system. That's the one I use, and I've done hundreds of cases, and the one we used in 2009 to do the first one in Washington. The other systems we have at GW include the MedRobotic system, which is a special transoral and transanal system that we use for patients who have cancers in the throat or esophagus or in the rectum. And there are other systems out there that are just coming to market made by both Medtronic and Ethicon. So there are other systems, but the dominant one is the Da Vinci surgical system. We have 2 of the newest systems at GW, and we've had the Da Vinci surgical systems, I believe this is a 4th generation now. We've had their systems from day one and have had a broad experience.
So if a patient sees their physician and it turns out there's a malignancy or there's some GI surgery necessary, usually you get a referral to a specific surgeon or somebody in your network. Is it reasonable for a patient to ask their surgeon, gee, are you going to use the robot?
Absolutely. I think any patient should ask their surgeon what instruments they're going to use. Are they going to do it in a minimally invasive fashion or a large incision? What's the recovery time? And robotics is a valid question. It's being used in both gynecology and urology and in thoracic surgery and general surgery and head and neck surgery. So robotics are used in a variety of areas. So it really is important for the patient to ask, how is the procedure going to be done? Will you be doing it in a minimally invasive fashion? Is robotics involved? And then what's the experience of the doctor? So robotics and minimally invasive has become very ubiquitous and popular, but that's recent, and many patients who are doing advanced procedures such as robotics may not have many years of experience. And that's where someone like myself, who have been doing it now for over a decade, we're through our learning curve. So I think those are common questions that patients need to ask, is the experience of the surgeon and the experience of them using the instruments.
Right. Maybe the patient says, by the way, when did you get the robot? It wasn't last week, was it? Just to make sure that they...
Yeah, exactly. You know, am I the first one you're ever going to do? And again, if you have experience and you're the first, then so long that the surgeon explains it and says that we're going to do it, and if it's not working, we're going to stop and do it the old-fashioned way, it's okay to be the first, but you got to have that conversation.
Yes, well, this has been a great discussion, Dr. Obias. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I think it's very exciting. You had mentioned the fact that robotics at the moment, does the robot do things autonomously and how it works? And this is just the beginning of this type of technology. Eventually, we are going to have robotic systems in surgery that's going to assist us even more. It's going to say, this is the proper area to cut. This is where the cancer is. And then some days, there may be a time when the robot may take over portions of it. Say, when we're putting two pieces of bowel together, when we're trying to suture it together, and maybe the robot can suture finely and with better tolerances than we can do by hand, and then the rest of the robot assists us. So you had mentioned that you worry about the robot doing things on its own, and right now it's not, but it's not that far away, maybe years to decades, where we are going to have systems that do part of it to even advance us beyond what we do now in open surgery. Because right now what we're doing is we're replicating open surgery through tiny incisions with the robot. But eventually, we're going to have robotic systems that let us do surgery better than what we do in open. So that day is closer than what people think.
Wow, that's pretty exciting.
That concludes this episode of GW DocPod with the George Washington University Hospital. To refer your patient, please call 1-888, the number 4-GW-DOCS. That's 1-888, the number 4-GW-DOCS. Docs. And if you have questions for one of our specialists, please email physicianrelations@gwu-hospital.com. Thanks for listening. Physicians are independent practitioners who are not employees or agents of the George Washington University Hospital. The hospital shall not be liable for actions or treatments provided by physicians.
Individual results may vary. There are risks associated with any surgical procedure. Speak with your physician about these risks to find out if minimally invasive surgery is right for you.